Welcome to the Moonalogue Sessions by Quirky Voices. We're excited to share with you today some monologues inspired by the moon landings of 50 years ago today. And none of this program would be possible without the amazing Patreons for Quirky Voices. So, Alma, Artist Soapbox, Audio Oblivious Productions, Chan Bramwell, Christine, Hazel, Kareem, Karen, Kirsty, Matthew, Michael, Paul, and William. This is for you. For you are legend. Enjoy. Oh, and this awesome music is by Kahlo Zahn. Also legend. Enjoy!
Welcome to the Moonalogues, Part 3.
Oh, yeah. See, what I love, though, is that... See, although we're at different ages and different places and...
What, me and you?
Yeah, me and you. Me and everyone, really. Yeah, we were still all born under the same moon, weren't we? And, you know, when you do look up at night, your night and my night, we see the same face, don't we? The face... of the moon. I love that.
Me too. Look at it now, getting closer by the second. Earth falling behind us.
Make a wish.
Why?
I don't know. Just feels appropriate.
I can't think of anything.
What? All right, well, should we just get the next story fueling this joy machine and maybe that'll help?
Okay. You gonna age up?
Actually, no, I was going to, but the amazing Erica Sanderson narrated this one, for she is legend.
A Wish for My Forever. A Moon Monologue by William J. Mayer. Narrated by Erica Sanderson. Is time different out here? Is it? I don't mean because of the curvature of space-time or any of that. I mean because time is the stuff. The real stuff. The pliable stuff, and it's inside you. Bound to your living, your loving, your wondering. Affected more by woe and joy than gravity. It stretches, it twists, it's elastic. Right? I think so. I've been waiting forever. Waiting to see you. But maybe today, time, the real stuff will retract. And my forever will end. Okay, I don't mean forever as in always ever. And yes, I'm looking at you even now. What I mean, of course, is essential time. Time for being. Empty. That's what time should be for. Not measured up. Not counted down. Should. But mostly, time is for the waiting. And that's a different kind of empty. I know it can never be like it was. Simply can't be. And maybe that's for the best. But the choice was made for us. And change arrived with a wallop. A traumatic impact smashed us apart. Forever, I guess. I keep using forever. Sure sounds stupid. Yesterday, Thea came between us. Not her fault. I mean, she was just being Thea, right? Should I be grateful? Yeah, I guess. She kind of made me what I am, and yes, you too. Love is like that sometimes. A tangle of glistening threads, but the web is still invisible somehow. But that doesn't change the fact that we had no choice. It's cold and lonely out here. I don't like that. But I know the catastrophe gave you all that water as a parting gift. So I guess I shouldn't be too upset. The water grew for you all that wonderful green stuff. It's pretty. Looks good on you. Still, whenever I dwell on it, yes, I admit I dwell on it, I get so worked up, so angry, sometimes I turn red. Not healthy. Let it go, I know, let it go. The problem is, the pain is comfortable. Do you mind if I admit that? Still, I promise, won't do anything rash. Nope, I don't really have a dark side, no matter what you've heard. After the crash, the accident, we can call it, to be non-judgmental if we must, well, eventually I settled down, pulled myself together. But you must know. We were one. Now we are two. And I miss you. I keep looking for a sign you're thinking of me. But you always seem to have your attention turned the other way. Busy with floods and eruptions and then all that animal malarkey. How do you stand it? All of them touching you all the time. Ugh, I'd go crazy. And now, this new thing. Tiny little lights. Always on, somewhere. Yes, winking. Here and there, flirting with me. Is that you? All the gross hairy things always searching you and for who knows what? Are they looking for joy? Did they misplace their woe? Is their time elastic too? One day I thought Big Sassy was visiting. Kept seeing these bright splashes all on you. Some were darn big too. Then I saw that they were being dropped. Dropped from shiny toys. Who drops splashes? I was worried. Worried they'd make you sick. Sick with lights. I wanted to help, but... Oh. I just keep drifting away. Well, the hairy ones came from you, I suppose. So, I suppose... I suppose if I love you, then I should love them too. It's just not easy seeing the way they treat you. Children can be so ungrateful. Sometimes it makes me cry. So, I see today they're paying me a visit. I will set out my best rocks and set my gravity low for their amusement. I want to make a good impression. But what are they here for? To be sure I'm real or something? I know sometimes that which is so beautiful can be thought only an illusion, a fantasy. But no, I'm definitely real. My heartache tells me so. Oh, that's them! Your vulgar little monsters! Okay, sorry. They just landed in their cute little boat. Seems like it took them forever. I said it again. But time really is different out here. Was only yesterday I held you close. 4.5 billion years ago. Now, yes, now, your children. They finally made it. And with them, my last hope. One of them stepped on me. How can you stand it? Oh, I hope they realise. I want them to take some of me back to you. An offering. And a wish. So I can stop waiting. And my forever can finally end.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Oh my god. Have you planned what we're gonna say when we land? Like, who's going first? What words of wisdom do we share?
Well, you know, I haven't really thought of that. Huh. Maybe while this next piece is on, we could practice saying some things together, maybe?
Cool idea. Mm. I am so gonna fall down those steps. First thing to touch the moon will be my face.
Yeah, I was thinking the same, but see, my gravity force is heavier on my other end, so there'd be an almighty boom as my ass hits the moon dust for the first time. Broadcast in all its audio glory.
Does sound different on the moon?
Well, should we listen to this wonderful poem by the also wonderful Cheyenne, and we can ponder.
Glow. Written and narrated by Cheyenne Bramwell. Yep, that's me. Glow. You hang there silent every night, gleaming with heavenly light. I hope you're never very lonely, that stars are good company and don't treat you too coldly. We met you before. I hope you didn't mind it, us marring your dust with footprints. I know it's been years since we visited, but we've never forgotten you. Our resources are just limited. If I could strap wings to my heels, through the clouds I'd plow, and I'd be up there with you right now. But since gravity won't let me go, I'll have to stay here and silently marvel at your wondrous glow.
Oh, love that. Yeah, you have a wondrous glow to you too, Tanya.
Are you trying to say I'm fat?
Of course not. I mean, why can't folks take compliments anymore? I feel like the dusty moon in comparison to life-giving sun next to you.
Aww. Sarah, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Shall we just listen to the next monologue, Moonface?
Do it, Glowface.
You're drunk.
Her Many Faces. An audio monologue written and performed by Danielle Ellett. She looks up at me with the same curious expression that we once all possessed, before the Earth rotated too many times for our sense of wonder to stay stuck to us. The unseen centrifugal force, too much to keep the feeling of wonder close. Mama the Moon, I can see the moon, she says, pointing towards the proscenium of a cloudless blue sky. As the nighttime orb faintly peeks her head out around the curtain, despite the leading lady of the sun's current soliloquy. Yes, you do, I reply. But why, she says, repeating what has become her youthful catchphrase. I am taken back to a time when I was the inquisitive child, and my mother, my library of never-ending knowledge. I smile and hear my mother's voice, my grandmother's voice, and hers before her echoed in the response. Long ago, when the earth was shaped and the sky dotted by stars, the goddess of creation gave birth to two perfectly equal sisters, one pale and one golden. The goddess told the sisters to live above the earth and be helpful to the people she had newly created there. And so they did. The moon and the sun took their turns in the sky, full and round and happy. Happy until the humans they were to watch over began to shower the golden sister with praise. They built pyramids in honor of the golden sister. They wrote songs of worship, thanking her and admiring her for all she gave them. The sun grew in stature while the moon diminished, shrinking in size with the lack of love from those she was sent to care for. Jealous of her sister, the moon began to change her face. Maybe if I wear a different face each night, the humans may come to love me. They still loved the sun more. Perhaps if I disappear completely, they will realize how much they miss me and will honor me as well. And so she hid herself away. Yet the humans only praised the sun more when the light of day returned after such a dark and treacherous night. In frustration, the pale sister decided to cross her sibling's path, eclipsing the sun with her own smaller form, hoping that the humans would love her more now. The humans fell to their knees in horror, begging the sun to come back and the moon to stay in her rightful sky. She retreated back to the night, vowing to run away and leave the earth completely. It was then that the creatures of earth, those that treasured all she offered them, begged her not to go. The wolves howled songs of appreciation towards the moon in hopes of making her stay. The waves of the ocean pleaded with the moon, promising that they would do her bidding if only she remained. Pacified, the moon promised to stay with the earth so long as the creatures and the waves sung her praises and obeyed her commands. To this day, the promise has not been broken. But every now and then, the jealous sister still checks in on the humans, looking down on them from a midday sky, hoping to hurry her sister along that she may reign over the skies once more. My daughter looks up at me, as the wolf does to the moon, adoration in her eyes. I pray with my own heart that she will love me this much for always.
Wow, that one did it. Brilliant. We went super speedy. Literally landing. Now, how on earth did you program this thing to land? I was busy painting an amusing picture of a moonscape with surreptitious boobs on the other side of the hull when you were finishing the wiring, so I didn't see.
I just made a button here and wrote land.
Oh,
on
I thought
it.
That said PUA7.
You're reading upside down.
Oh, yes, so that makes sense, because I thought, what is a PUA7? Well, you know, I've been completely disorientated, to be honest, because, you know, we've been floating around since we got out of Earth's orbit. So how can Naboo sleep like that? It's not much gravity pull at all in here, is there?
Nope. Most of my dirty moon just blobbed across the instruments. I think it's all okay. So hang on to something. Nabu, lay down. I mean, lay in the air. There. Good boy. Good.
Oh, we're actually landing. It's beautifully smoothly. It's not even a bump.
Well, we couldn't find a good sound effect, so gets around that one.
Well, I think that landing sobered us up. And remember, kids, drink responsibly. Especially if you're driving a spaceship. What's this ship called?
Bowels of Hell.
Penguin.
Penguin? A flightless bird?
I like penguins.
Okay. The penguin has landed.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Okay, well, we'll get the suits on and take a look outside while this next monologue stores fuel for takeoff.
Yes. Now, this is one of my fave audio drama writers, Faith. She writes Boom.
Oh, so good.
So good.
And narrated by one of my fave voice actors. She's been on the Diva podcast, too. Did you listen to that episode? So good.
Oh, hell yeah. Made groovy. Notes.
Would you catch the helmet? See you on the other side, listeners.
Phaedra by Faith McQuinn. Narrated by Jordan Cobb of Giannis Descending and No Such Thing Productions.
In the 17th century, Thomas Harriot looked through a telescope and saw the moon. In the 20th century, Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon and made history. In 2020, I, Phaedra Ada Lee Harper, became the first woman to walk on the moon. But you know all of that. Here's something you don't know. I'm here, back on the moon, this time for good. Tommy.
I know I told you it was a year-long mission to help train the other astronauts here. Or Lunanauts, as they've started calling themselves. But I lied. I'm going to be a permanent resident on the Luna base, along with Amiko Ashiro, Lev Belanov, and Carter Gibbons. You know them all, and you know we'll take care of each other here. I'm sorry that I didn't tell you until I was here that I planned to stay. I knew you'd try to stop me because, well, you'd make up a reason like, Mom, you're retired. Mom, what about your grandchildren? But the real reason would be you'll miss me. I'll miss you too. Because you are my heart. That's also why I couldn't tell you, because I fear you would have convinced me to stay on Earth. But I need to be here. I need to do this. When I was a little girl, I sat in my room and stared up at the sky, at the bright white globe that called to me every night. I was happiest when it was full. I was sad when it was new. And now, I'm here. And I can see it every day. I can help our world build another so that we can not only travel to Mars, but live there as well. I love you, hon. Don't hate me. Talk soon, Mom.
That was crazy. I wonder if she's still here.
Who?
Phaedra?
Should we take a look? Door's open.
Age before beauty.
Oh, thanks for that. No, I've got an idea. Let's just jump together, right? You remember what we're going to say once we land?
Yep.
Okay, on three. One, two. Oh, wait, Twinkle Toes is down there already. Oh, he climbed down using my chin hair. That's gross.
Wait, he's the first thing on the moon? What's he going to say? Something profound, maybe? I hope?
Well,
two, three.
Woohoo!
Oh, get off. Oh, my face. Get your helmet off my face. Sorry.
Yes, well, I think that went rather well, didn't you? And, look, I didn't spill a drop. You? What on earth are you doing here?
Hi there. We've come to the end of the first adventure to the moon. Yes, the end. There is currently no more. Want more? Tell @QuirkyVoices on Twitter or write to quirkyvoices@gmail.com. They love to hear from you. On another note, perhaps at sea. On a rocket ship fueled by words, is one charged monologue enough to get our two word-loving voice actors back again? Or will Sarah and Tanya and the mystery person they fell on and friends be stuck with each other forever, never to read a new script again? Some would probably support a Kickstarter to make that happen. But hey, join us again on another day to see what happens next on Moonalogs. Celebrating the 50th anniversary of the landings on the moon. And people, if you do go out tonight, take a moment to glance up. And if you can spot any movement on the moon, if you do, give them a wave, why don't you? Thank you to all the writers who submitted to this Moonalog fun.
Huge thanks to Quirky Voices Competition Writing Submission Window winners Hayden Davis, Karen Hemdahl, Sarah Maitusen, Danielle Ellett, J. Christian Ellett, Faith McQuinn, Emily C. Snyder, Maya Pierce, Fiona Thrale, Chan Bramwell.
And of course, all the narrators. Erica Sanderson, James Oliva, Angelique Lazarus, Madison Upton, Jordan Cobb, Fiona Thrale, Lucille Valentine, Kareem Cronfley, and, well, two intrepid explorers. The first identifying females in the moon.
Oh, right.
As a reminder, do send your thoughts on this podcast, any inspired artwork, or even more monologues to fuel their way back to Earth to quirkyvoices@gmail.com. Thank you, and goodbye.
The best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, and the others too. John F. Kennedy, thank you for spending time with Quirky Voices Projects. keep an eye out for what's next. Happy listening.